How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
Hey y'all, we hope everyone is going to have an amazing holiday season. We hope you finish out 2018 with a blast. Andrew and I are taking some time to, you know, rest and rejuvenate after a year of podcast, and we do appreciate your support throughout 2018. We hope you enjoy these bonus episodes, and you will be hearing from us starting in January with some amazing content on Airway. We also just wanted to take this moment to give you two things that we would love for you to do. First, meet us at Voices of Dentistry in Scottsdale, Arizona. So we've done this. This will be the third year. This is their third year. And this is pretty much where all the dental podcasts collide. So their purpose is to bring your favorite dental podcast to one central location and have a fun filled weekend of podcasting, networking, and continued education. You'll find us there on January 25th and 26th in 2019 in Scottsdale, Arizona. And you can head over to voicesofdentistry.com for more information. And last, and probably one of the most important things that we would ask of you for this year is to vote. Vote in the best podcast of 2018. You go to dentalpodcast.org, and there's going to be a little drop-down menu at the top, and at the bottom of that, it says vote. Click on that, and you can select your four favorite podcasts. We hope we're one of them, and we would love to have a three-peat this year. We work so hard for this podcast. It's been an amazing journey, a labor of love, and your support with your vote just kind of gives us a little pat on the back and helps us to keep going. So you can, though, select up to four podcasts. So if you are enjoying any of the other ones, the dental or dental hygiene ones, support them too. Click your four favorite. We appreciate you. We hope you enjoy the rest of your 2018, and we will see you again in 2019.
Well, and you've been on the podcast a few times as a guest host sometimes.
Yes,
and
which
then
is
also,
my favorite.
Yeah, delivering content. But what we really wanted to do was kind of wrap our head around CE and like what that means, what that looks like from the veteran hygienist, depending, maybe even holding multiple licenses. And we hear a lot of questions, or see and read a lot of questions about like, is this, even for our podcast, is this self-study? Is this live? And we just want to break it all down.
Let's just talk about like the whole reason we get CE.
Let's do it. Yes.
Why do we go to continuing education courses? Why are they requiring it on every single state level except for Wyoming? They believe that CE is so important. And if you're having to go get it, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And people are just going to go and they're going to read an article, or they're not even going to read it. They're just going to take the test, get CE, where they want their dentist and hygienist to go and do. I'm not saying I support this. This is just their belief. And they just want them to go and get CE because it's important.
But when there's no accountability, what is the percentage of people actually performing?
That I don't know.
And I believe that we are all adults.
Yeah. You have no idea right. How much CE these people are actually getting. No clue.
So, okay. We do it because Minus Wyoming.
Minus Wyoming, yes.
Why do we do it?
We go and get continuing education so we can learn and better serve our patients.
How often do you hear, but that's not what I learned in school?
Oh, all the time.
And how often, well, I don't know if this is even a fair question, but if I graduated right now, how far behind do you think I am with education?
Graduating right now? That is a good question.
I personally would say 5 years.
I would say at least 5 years.
Yeah.
The schools are about that far behind.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't have any research.
I wouldn't
on that.
Say the schools are, but like the textbook, the boards, the, which, and Claire Jung actually just posted something that I was shocked by because I didn't realize that, let's say, for instance, you take pre-med and you have the standards are, unless there's no risk, no pre-med is needed, right? But the boards are not supporting that. So if you answered no, because this person had no medical risk factors, you could actually take these guidelines and go and say, nope, I actually got this right because this is the standard. So you can kind of
go and fight your own board.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So you could get that question back. If like that was your do or die, like right. I didn't pass because of this one question, then you could actually go back. And I was like, what?
Really?
I didn't even know that. So what I feel good about as far as a teacher is to say, this is what your boards are, but this is the current knowledge. This is actually, even if it was like,
which is terrible,
January
to teach
of
off of
2018 but, right now.
Yeah.
And even though we're in November, if I said that, like, these are the standards, but the textbooks, the boards, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to bring it up to date. So if that's the case, I actually want you to know this. If you get it wrong on the board, bring it back to me. Because you and I can have that discussion and we can bring it back and say, no, this is actually the standard and this is what I'm teaching at. This is the level I'm teaching at.
Correct. Yeah.
I feel very happy about that as a professor.
Yeah. I agree.
Let's go back to why we do it.
Yeah. Honestly, the reason that the boards even created this was so doctors would go and get their education. And one thing I do love about the AGD, the Academy of General Dentistry, is they do promote that. They do promote for these doctors, and they give them a reward, basically, for getting more CE than it's actually required, which I love. I wish. Does hygiene have anything like that?
I can't think of one thing.
I think hygiene has an AGD, but I don't understand how it works because I've never actually.
So what kind of reward do they get?
So they can get fellowshipped into the AGD. They call it.
Okay.
Can't say it on the air. Fagged. Or they go and get mastered into the AGD. So they literally take another board.
Okay.
So they get all these extra CE hours.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get those hours, they go and take another board.
Oh, okay.
So like...
certain criteria too, right?
Yep.
Type of CE.
Mm-hmm. They have to meet certain criteria. There's like perio, lasers, pediatrics. Well, probably not lasers, but new and upcoming technology... business, they have to get all these categories to be able to qualify
for to be
to getting, take that test to get fellowshipped.
Okay.
And then to get mastered is even bigger. So like when you see people with MAGD behind their name, like
they've taken all the courses.
Yes.
Yeah. But what does that even matter in the grand scheme of it?
So for me as a hygienist, I would love it if that's how my dentist was, because I know that guy has gone and he knows, or she, they know for sure. Or I know for sure that they are as educated as they possibly can
be. Right. Right.
They're going to be advocating for their patients.
Yes. They're going to be advocating for us as well, because they are they totally understand the new technology and the new like perio techniques and stuff that you were just talking about earlier today.
Or be educated with them.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Which would be incredible. So let's also talk about dental boards and dental associations.
Okay. So before I started CE Zoom, I had no idea there was a difference.
Yeah.
I did not know who licensed me. I didn't understand any of that. I just know when I was in hygiene school, I belonged to the American Dental Hygiene Association, mm-hmm. because I had to. I actually didn't have a choice. This was part of my schooling. Mm-hmm. So I was part of the Student Dental Hygiene Association.
Right.
SADA.
SADA.
As most of you have probably heard about it. But then the dental board... is completely separate. That is where you go and get your licensing done. And they're the ones that say a dentist gets in trouble for, you know, writing himself a prescription from his associate's prescription pad. They're going to go before the dental board. that's where they go and get, or a judge, and that's where they're going to go and get, you know, on trial for stuff like that.
Okay.
So the dental board regulates the public, not regulates, I'm sorry, they regulate the dentist to protect the public. The ADHA and the ADA advocate for the professional. So every single state's different. Back to what I just said about the dental associations and the hygiene associations, they are there to advocate for the hygienist and the dentist. They cannot pull my license by any means. They cannot tell me, oh, you didn't get enough CE, so you can't have a new license. They're not the ones in charge of that. Let's talk about regulating of CE. Who's in charge of that? Who regulates actual CE? Do you guys know? Well,
Is it state dependent?
It's state dependent. And it is the dental board. It's not actually the association.
Like, so the association isn't really the one giving me the CE. No.
Well, they're giving the CE, but they're not saying whether it counts or not.
Okay.
According to your state.
Okay.
So this is the part that is so confusing for people.
Yeah.
When I first started CE Zoom, it was a huge eye-opening experience for us. Because we had a state that took us on right away just to support me. And so I didn't want to upset them in any way, but we ended up, in fact, Andrew was involved in this because he was one of the speakers.
Yes, I was.
And I had to call him, and I didn't really know you that well.
At midnight.
So what happened is we put all these courses in CE Zoom and realized 6 out of the 12 CE credit hours actually didn't count for the state.
What?
Yes. And as a hygienist, going to my state or a state association meeting, I would just assume
that
all the courses count because this is my state. It should
and
count.
This is where you go to have your CE.
This is where you go to get your CE.
Right.
For your state.
For my state.
Right.
And so when we put these in and we were like, oh my gosh, these courses don't count. Like one of them, it was Andrew's course was on dental missions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great course. That doesn't mean that it's not necessary for us to listen to. But it didn't count because it was completely self-help. It had nothing to do with clinical dentistry.
Wow.
Which in the state we were in at that time, all the courses had to be in relation to clinical dentistry. But then there was another course on ergonomics by a chiropractor. That has nothing to do with clinical dentistry. It has everything to do with how am I going to sit? How am I going to posture myself so I don't hurt myself so I have a longer career? Nothing to do with clinical dentistry. Would you ever assume that?
Yeah,
you wouldn't. You would just think.
But yeah.
I'm talking dentistry, but I'm not really talking. I'm not learning anything clinically of how to treat my patient.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the misconceptions that people don't understand. But it goes even deeper than that. And I'm not even sure if I want to go there because it's going to cause an uproar. But I'm going to go there just for a minute. So I called one of the representatives from that state and I brought it up. And this person said, well, you know, if it's put on by the state association, then it should count. I said, but look at your rules of your state. It doesn't count for your rules, so why would it count for the association? Am I making sense?
But your association is typically a volunteer that has no training. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but like I've been secretary for, I've been secretary for my state. I had no idea.
State board or state association?
State association. So if what you're saying is if it's under my association, but I am volunteering with no education, no guidance, nothing, how can you say that it should follow? Because I wasn't told.
The board person saying this, which is different than the association person saying this. This is a bigger mistake.
Because this is a person that would be auditing your license.
And the person should know the rules front ways and back ways.
But how does that wrap into the association? Did I miss that?
So that's where you are just as confused as every person. That's exactly the response I wanted from you.
Okay.
Because here's the point I'm trying to make. Nobody freaking knows. And that's the problem.
Mm.
So who's regulating the Dental Hygiene Association courses?
The dental board.
Well, who's regulating? So say I'm going to a state. I don't want to call any states out. Say I'm going to a state to get CE. Who is regulating those CE courses? Who should be regulating those CE courses?
I would think the state.
Nope. Who's giving those courses?
It's the association.
It's the associations of providership. Okay. But in conversations that I've had with them, they didn't know they were an approved provider in 42 states. So they're using AADH. American Academy, which I think is similar to the AGD, AADH, American Academy of Dental Hygiene.
As a provider, I didn't even know that existed.
Okay. And they're only accepted in 16-ish states. So the national association that a lot of people belong to is approved in 42 states, yet they're using an approved providership that's only approved in 16 states. So what are all these other states doing? So say it's Arizona, New Mexico, South Carolina, Washington. It's all under ADHA because they're approved providers, but nobody's regulating it because they don't know they're approved providers. They're using AADH. Are you guys with me?
I just don't even understand how it's gotten this far.
That's okay. So the day I realized that was the day that I was like, holy crap.
Though it's not regulated, the knowledge you gained isn't mitigated because it doesn't count for very specific CE. So yes, there is almost like you have to silo it. Like, yes, okay, here's my category where I can renew my license.
Right.
Based upon whatever state I'm renewing in. But this is also what makes me a clinician that can do X, Y, or Z.
Right. So I guess here's my point for all of this. Regardless of the CE provider, like ADHA, AGD, ADA, AADH, whatever it is, you need to know what counts in your state or not. Because they're not regulating that at the levels of the state levels or the national level.
They're just providing.
They're providing the content. You need to know.
But you are in control of your own CE and your own licensure.
Right. And courses put on by ADHA actually do count in states. So don't ruin that misconception. They just didn't realize that they were approved in 42 states until recently.
So the reality is like you're going to have very specific categories that you need to take CE in.
Correct.
To get your license.
Mm-hmm. To keep practicing.
And you should know those categories.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very state specific.
Correct. And every single state has its own things.
I don't think in South Carolina I have child abuse.
I don't think so. That's like Pennsylvania. And
yeah. There's very specific. And then they might come. So I think, 2 years ago when I renewed? There was something that I needed. And I got it from my board. And I think I sent it to you. And I was like, oh my God.
My gosh. Yeah.
Oh my God, do you know that this has to be done? And then when I use CE Zoom, I will plug in my things. And I'm still, so I took OSHA and HIPAA, but I didn't take bloodborne pathogens yet. And so.
And every state's different.
Yes.
So South Carolina calls for that, where some states just call for infection control. They don't care what it is, you know, or some states call for.
It could be like, these are the type of wipes
OSHA
that you should
without
use.
Infection control. I mean, every state is so specific. It's crazy.
So I guess the takeaway from this, whatever it is, but the most important is that your states are all different. If you're licensed in multiple states, you need to know those rules. And even though you take CE, it should fall in the category, get your license. I feel like maybe that should be like full first and foremost, right? Right. Like, here's your priority. But just because you take these other ones, it doesn't mean that that knowledge isn't valuable.
Right.
But it's just not going to go into your. And if you cross the state line,
mm-hmm. it might count over there.
It might change. And so you just have to be smart.
Well, even like I've been going to a lot of business courses lately because we're doing a lot with DSOs. And sitting through these courses, I would have never gone to these courses as a typical everyday hygienist. But
me either. Yeah.
Honestly, I've learned the best like hygiene practices from these types of courses, like how to better serve my patients based off of,
insurance.
So you never know.
Or
like,
how
that's
do you
what
code,
I'm
you CDT, all of those things.
Yes. Or how to work with your doctor to make sure that your patient is completely aware of what's happening and using technology to diagnose. And like, I learned that at some DSO conferences. Right. And I've been to so many CE courses. And
nobody talks about those
I learn about perio and ergonomics. Let's talk about anything else.
Because it's ergonomics, not so much, but the perio is clinical.
Yeah.
And so that's always a given.
Always a given. Perio right. is at every conference you go to, which it's important. Don't get me wrong. It is. But let's talk about perio with implants. Mm. I would love to learn a little bit more about that. You know,
I had a course for that.
I know. I was shouting you out. There was a course that was offered a couple years ago. I don't like to call out states because I don't want anyone to feel bad, because I think every state does a really good job with how they're running their conferences. But we realized early on it didn't count for CE. So we notified the presenter and she was like, you know, I'm just going to let everybody know. And she had about 50 people signed up for this course before. She let everyone know that it didn't count. And it was an important topic. I mean, it was how to write a resume. It doesn't count for CE, but oh my gosh, like you're going to get a good job out of it. She only had like 10 people show up to that course, which told me one thing. People were there for the wrong reasons.
Where Wyoming's always going back to. So it's this weird like juxtaposition of like, do you take this route of like, you are a clinician, you're professional. Mm-hmm. You should take hold of your own knowledge and education because you're treating people.
Right.
Versus here's your bare minimum. Mm-hmm. And just kind of at least get that. Which is,
I mean, I spoke with the board president of Wyoming. And I, by the time our conversation was over, I'm like, you're right. I totally support what you're saying.
But we also have this, well, and God, like the avenue, which we won't go down the boat. It's like the fact that we're a 2-year course mm-hmm. where anyone can kind of get in and the rules are not the same for everyone. And it's sometimes just job, like money driven.
Yeah.
Easy hours, money. And I can't say that I didn't get into, like, I went from dental assisting and be like, oh, I don't want to go to hygiene school because I love dentistry and I make more money. Like, you
well,
know?
Yeah. I mean, I actually went to hygiene school so I could be a mom. So I could work 2 days a week and stay home the rest of the time.
And then here we are, all working
in New York
like
City
70
on a
hours like a week, which my Instagram post was that the other day. Like, how did I go from 32-hour work week?
I know.
To Thanksgiving where I'm working.
I was just thinking about that the other day. I'm like, I went into this profession so I could stay home.
You're not.
I'm not.
You're not.
But it's okay. Okay, so I actually want to talk a little bit about webinar versus live versus self-study.
Ooh,
can we go
yes,
there?
Yes,
because I mean, as you know, we offer CE.
You offer CE.
Through our podcast here that you're listening to, folks.
So what are your opinions? Sorry, I'm going to question you guys for a minute. What's your opinion about podcast content? I mean, you guys do this day in and day out.
So listening to a lot of different dental podcasts, I think that it is very hit or miss. Mm-hmm. Right? There are ones that are, I think we were all in the same course that one time that was, it was entitled something.
That's our itching thing.
It was titled something.
I was in this course?
You might have been, or you might have heard about it. We're all in the same place.
And I think you're outside of this course.
Okay.
I don't want to give it away. But so we're all in the same course, and people were just looking at each other because the presenter just talked about a trip that they took across
their experiences.
Oh, I was there.
And
yes.
This person is an amazing clinician, a great person.
Right.
And a great speaker. Yeah.
I'm like, how is this for CE?
This was not even close to being the topic.
I'm going
to
clarify. I did not certify that course.
Thank you.
Right. But I feel like there are podcasts that are like that too, where mm-hmm. it ends up being like, hey, you know, I probably do this. Maybe like, they're not like experts. They're not really giving good quality content. So I don't think
it's just for fun, really.
Yeah. And so, but they might claim that they are. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, I think also to piggyback on that, I think you have definitely levels of podcast knowledge and information. Mm-hmm. It's like we're all in it together. Let's talk about it. Like, what's life like outside of this shit show of dental hygiene?
Yeah. Which is helpful for a lot of people.
Yes. And then you have the next one, which is like, maybe it doesn't fall into the categories of CE for your state, but it still matters. Like, I just had a hygienist that like, went behind my back and did X, Y, and Z. Like, how would you deal with that? Like, things that happen, that real life.
Or like embezzlement.
The business side of it. Like, things that really do matter.
And I like that kind of learning, though, because if I am, you know, at home doing something or I'm taking, you know, I drive a lot. If I'm in a car ride and I'm learning something that is like that third level, which mm-hmm. I was talking about. Then I want that to count for something that I did to try and better myself clinically.
Right.
So I love the idea of it. I think that there just needs to be regulate.
Well, and we, I mean, we're, you know, we're making sure that whatever you guys post is educational, because we don't want that either.
And I think what's great is that you've given us parameters.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be, what, 50 minutes?
50 of minutes solid, of solid content.
And it's not like the first 3, 5, 10 minutes. It's like, hey, Andrew, yeah, how's life? Like, whatever. Right. And, you know, Michelle's half a bottle of wine in. No, it's not that part of it. Right. But it's also that we are delivering content that is worthy of CE.
Right. Let's talk about, like, live in person. Anytime I go to a live CE course, I need to be entertained, though. Like, I need stories. I do love research, but I
don't
need
read
some
from
stories.
A screen.
Please don't read from the screen. Not that I have any room to talk, because sometimes, especially if you're presenting research, you have to read it. I'm sorry, you have
you
to.
Do.
It doesn't matter. There's no way you can repeat that. Exactly correct. Like, I understand that, so I'm not downing anybody on that. But I need entertained.
Story time with Michelle.
Story time with Michelle. No, I need entertained. So, but live CE, I get so much more out of it than if I were to take a live webinar, because I'm easily distracted. So,
that's why I make people interact with
you
me.
You do, and you do a very good job.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I don't give them credit.
No, they. How many times, Michelle, have we had to tell people?
I was like, I said in the beginning, I definitely asked you to write it down. I'm not giving it out afterwards. Don't do it.
And then they reach out to me and say, she didn't give me the CE code. I'm like, well, I'm a third party.
And then they'll email me and I'm like, oh, that's so cute, because I got your webinar analytics over here.
Yeah. And you weren't there.
Yeah.
You didn't respond, which means you started it and walked away.
Yeah.
Guys, we're not going to give you credit if you're not watching the CE.
Via webinar is the turn on, click it on, I'm going to start cooking dinner for my mm-hmm. family thing. And I'm not saying that I'm not guilty of that, but sometimes I'm not trying to get CE credit for it.
Right. You're just trying to learn it.
I'm just trying to like, oh, like what was that infographic that I just saw? Like screenshot that, like teach me something. Mm-hmm. But that's how I also listen to podcasts. Like
right.
Teach me all the time.
Something.
Something. But I'm not trying to get CE for it and take a test for it either. Well,
so let's talk about webinars.
Mm-hmm.
So some states call out webinars as self-study.
Why? If it's live?
Yes. Here's the issue, though. AGD, the Academy of General Dentistry, says that a live webinar is live. So when you get your CE certificate, it says it was a live course. So when the state dental board, who called out that it was that webinars don't count, all they see is the CE certificate that says it's a live webinar. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It counts as live course, live credit.
Regardless, because they don't understand technology?
Regardless, maybe.
But
regardless
laugh at me,
of
but
what your state calls out,
yeah.
AGD, which is an accrediting body, mm-hmm. says that is a live CE.
Because it is.
So, because you can interact with the presenter and the presenter can interact with the student. So
because I guess the question is then, like, if I have somebody sitting in my course live
mm-hmm.
and they're on they're texting on their phone, they're doing whatever, how is that any different?
It's not. But here's my point, though. Like, here's the point I'm trying to make. These state boards are calling out that it's not live, but the AGD is saying it is live. So when you get your CE certificate, it says it's live, and the state board gets it and it says it's live. They have no idea it was a webinar. Does that make sense? Whew. So CE Zoom. We have an issue with this in our system because
yeah.
we don't know what to call it out as because there's no differentiating
right.
way. So if it's a live webinar put on by AGD, it is considered a live course. There's nothing we can do about it unless AGD changes their rules. Whew. This is what I'm saying. Like, here's all the issue. Like, it's not even an issue really because I still think live webinars should be a live CE. I do.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that these state boards are saying is you should have to take a test to prove that you watched it, which I kind of get because you can start that, walk away, cook dinner, deal with your kids,
you
and come back. I get that.
But I could also sit in a course in the very back
and
text the entire
or
time.
Do work on work.
Yeah.
And yeah, ultimately it's on you, but that's where we have an issue in CE Zoom's world because we're trying to say what counts and what doesn't. Yet we're going off all these rules, so we just have to go off what's before us. So AGD is saying it is a live CE. we're marking it as live.
Right.
If your state dental board denies it because it was a webinar, I don't know what to tell you.
But if that's the case, then we should do tests across the board.
Yes. But good luck. I don't want to do that
because sometimes that needs to sit and marinate for a hot second before I understand or take multiple courses on it.
Exactly.
Before I really wrap my head around it. So then what goes into that category of self-study?
So self-study for sure is anything that you watch on demand.
Okay.
Like podcasts, a recorded webinar.
Mm-hmm.
Articles, and those most states, not all, require a test for that.
And then how, and depending on the state, yes.
Like in New Mexico, I think we can have 30 hours.
Every 2 years?
Every three. And then 15 have to be live. So every state's different.
Are you a three-year?
Mm-hmm.
What would be the first, if you had to like build this perfect world, what would be your first stages to taking
everything
everyone?
To one level?
Yes.
Okay. It would be a 2-year renewal for everybody.
Okay.
Hygienist would be required to do 30 hours. Dentist would be required to do 45. Only because they have a lot more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Assistants need to be licensed. I absolutely believe that. So everybody Jesus. Would, Hallelujah. Everybody and assistants would renew every 2 years as well.
On the job hours. Or EDDA yep. or whatever
matter.
It is.
You need to have a license. You need to be getting CE for one because your job is just as important as ours.
Do we know if nurses and the nursing aides and all of that have to have license? Well, we know nurses, but like nursing aides.
Yeah, CNAs do. Yeah, they all have to have a license.
So why However, are we not following that same path?
I agree. CNAs or nurses even, a lot of their CE can be all, like my niece and my sister, they're nurses in New Mexico. They can get 100% of their CE online.
Which but they also get it in their hospitals.
They do. But if you're not working in a hospital.
True.
You know?
You can get it wherever.
Yeah. And people like build businesses off of this. Here's all your CE for $100. Take it. And it's a joke. Literally. So I don't even want to compare us to nurses.
Let's not model after that.
No, yeah. no, I okay. don't think we should.
Would you break it down into categories?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we need perio. We need anesthesia in the states that allow anesthesia. We need an anesthesia update, nitrous update. Because those are things I personally forget. I don't do it that often. People are going to hate me for this, but I'm just being real. Like, even though I sat there and mocked perio courses, so important because that's what we do.
And it's so evolving.
It changes constantly.
It's a moving target. And I would even say why I take that a step further to your anesthesia. Why can't I do a block? So what states are doing it right?
So many states have so many different rules. Like Minnesota has some pretty good rules to follow, but they're complicated. Arizona actually has their crap together.
Mm.
In what way, though?
They require, so you have to have 30 hours in certain topics. And those are the topics I was kind of talking about. You have to have 30
perio,
of your hours
anesthesia.
In those courses.
Okay.
And then I think they have 45 total. And then 15 can be in like business or something you want for yourself. You know,
like, kind of like an electives.
Yeah, like electives track. But they're every 3 years. So that seemed like a lot of CE, I know, but they're every 3 years. And then another state that's doing it really well. Who else? New Mexico actually does a pretty good job. Their rules are just complicated. Like they're really hard to find. But you can get 8 hours in business. You can get, you have to have CPR, infection control. You can get credit for volunteering, which I think everybody should be able to get credit for volunteering. So I love Washington because they do allow hygienists to do a lot. Like fillings would be awesome.
So you mean clinically?
Clinically, they can do
a
lot. I don't. Your rules are crap, personally, because they don't have to do anything. You can get them all in line, and there's not a lot of regulation behind
you
it.
Can read a book for an hour.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and they have more. They have more. What's the word?
Scope of practice.
Scope of practice than anybody, and they have the easiest CE, where you get a state like Minnesota, they are pretty cutting edge, but they have some pretty hard rules. There's a lot to follow. Arizona, same thing.
California.
California. Oh, I love California. I love all the people there, but their rules are really California centered. You have to have like California infection control and California OSHA.
For me to go from South Carolina to California would be impossible.
Does that mean
not impossible, but it would be hard.
Yeah. I mean, the clinicians in California couldn't go to South Carolina courses because they wouldn't get the same.
Maybe. Okay. Yep. It depends on who it's certified by. So AGD is pretty much across the board. Mm. ADA is pretty much across the board. But if you were from California and you went to South Carolina dental hygiene, won't count.
Wow.
Or California to Nevada, which is right next door. Oregon. Same thing. They have to have it by... They're pretty strict, which I don't have a problem with that. And I do, you know what I do love about California? They have their own dental hygiene board. It's the only state in the whole country
that has their own hygiene board. We talked about that 2 years ago, I think. Yeah.
So they regulate themselves. We deal with the staff of the state dental boards. They're not dental professionals. They have no idea anything about dentistry. They know rules. They know regulations. So for me, getting my system into some of these states has been so complicated because they don't understand.
Because the staff isn't, so like in Washington, mm-hmm. the Department of Health is not employed by the American Dental Association, not employed by the dental board.
No, they're the Department of Health. They're
actually appointed by the Secretary of Health in our state.
And they don't care. Is really what it boils down to.
Do I need a lawyer for all of this?
So I've actually had some states call, like when we call certain states, Wisconsin was one of them. We called to ask about one of the rules because I think, don't quote me on this, but it was like they called out something in their rule and then three lines later said it was excluded. So let's say it was business. You can get 8 hours of business in this state. And then further down their rules, it says you cannot have any CE for business. I'm just saying business. I'm not sure if that's
right.
It.
Yeah.
And so I called the state and she told me, you need to hire an attorney to understand your rules. And I was like, what?
What?
You know, because I was just like, I'm a hygienist in this state because I wanted to like see mm-hmm. what the hygienists were having to go through. And to have to actually hire an attorney to understand my rules and regs, I thought was crazy. Trying to make it black and white for everybody. So you know, you don't have to hire an attorney to understand your rules.
So what it all comes down to is you need to be a critical thinker and somebody who takes ownership of their license. What are your thoughts on ownership of CE? And by that, I mean, who should pay for it?
Good question. I think a lot of people are going to hate me for this, but I think the hygienist should pay for their own CE. Because when I had to pay for my own, I took it more seriously. And I took courses I actually wanted to go to. Rather than just the dentist is like, hey, go take this course for me.
Or here are your hours. Or here's $100, $200, $300.
I mean, it's nice
whatever.
To get a credit to take courses that I want. But just signing me up for like how to answer the phone and courses, like, I don't care about that. I want to go learn about
instrumentation and scaling.
Instrumentation.
And also, I want to throw in the fact that I think as a hygienist, when you graduate, you almost feel like you should know everything.
Yeah,
right?
That's impossible.
It is truly impossible. And I hope that people, after listening to our podcast for 3 years now, that they understand that there's so many things that we don't know. And there's things that Andrew is really good at and that I'm not great at and vice versa. And that when you're a graduating clinician, that you have bare minimum skills, right?
Yep.
You have enough to get you to not hurt people, right?
Maybe.
Maybe.
That's to be decided.
Says the people who grade people.
I know.
But so you have just enough to grade people or to not hurt people, right?
Yeah.
But if I need more knowledge on advanced instrumentation, I shouldn't be embarrassed to take that.
No.
If someone finds calculus in the same place every single time, I don't think you should be ashamed to go take a course on instrumentation.
And don't ever make someone feel ashamed because...
No, and I say ashamed meaning like maybe your dentist is like, you're missing calculus or I see the same spot every single time. Maybe they're not doing it in a shameful way, but right, they're just like acknowledging that clinically you are inferior in this area. Maybe 15, 16 just never gotcha.
Right.
Like, you know, maybe like an 11, 12 never entered your brain or you never even learned 17,
or
18
it's
in
just
a
so
perio
far
pocket.
Down there and you need to do a
yes,
flap.
Exactly.
When do you learn that? When do you learn how to flap?
I will say that I've taken instrumentation courses where in the mindset as a new grad, as a newbie, and I would even go as far as saying 3 to 4 years into being a hygienist, that I'm like, oh my God, I forgot that only this part of the instrument scaled this amount of surface area on a tooth. No wonder I can't get that piece. I see it radiographically, and I'm just in there like scaling
forever
to my little desires. Like I can't get it off, and I can't wrap my head around why I can't get that off. And I think we're surviving school. Like we survive school. We do what we can do to graduate, to do what we need to do and those requirements, those criteria, those guidelines, whatever it is. And then you take your boards and you're like, hallelujah, I passed. My license is here. And then you're like, now I got to pay off my debt. Mm-hmm. I need to find the office that's right for me. And then you have to deal with the whole dynamics of an office. It's almost like all the little... nuances of being a hygienist are forgotten about or not understood in that moment because you're dealing with all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And you almost like, you're like, I can't go take a course on how do you use in 17, 18.
Well, and it's not even like leaving calculus so much. It's not being able to get the patient to heal.
Biofilm. Like, why is it not about biofilm?
I mean, that could be a whole nother topic on itself,
yes.
But it's like, don't.
But
I
hope everybody understands that, one, CE, it matters.
Yes.
It's very important. Two, that there's a difference in your CE. Mm-hmm. Self-study and live is very different. Three, that where you obtain it, depending on your state regulations, is going to be very different. And you have to be a smart person to figure it out. Not smart, like intelligent, but
well,
like be your own keeper.
You just need to pay attention.
Keeper
it's your responsibility
your
and you need to make sure that it...
Yes. Don't fuss over the fact that it's not again or towards your license.
Right.
Because it all really matters. And that to be a sufficient clinician, you have to have a lot of dynamics in your profession. I don't even know if that's the right way to put it, but you have to be all encompassing
right.
of the business of dentistry.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be afraid to be like, dude, I don't know how to use the scaler properly or ultrasonic technique mm-hmm. or anesthesia technique. I mean, I think just...
No, I get it. Like, don't be afraid to go get CE. Don't be afraid to say, I am insufficient in this skill and I need some help.
So Sarah, you've been on before. You left your contact information before, but if you could please do it one more time for all of our new listeners.
Sarah@cezoom.com, sarah@cezoom.com, and go sign up at cezoom.com. So you don't have to read your 100-page rules and regulations.
Awesome.
We did it for you.
Thanks for being here again.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You're a delight.
You're a delight.
You're a delight.